Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are advised that this episode of The J-Files may contain voices and music of people who have died.
The J-Files on Double J.
2020 was a year like no other. Devastating bushfires, a global pandemic, a tipping point for systemic racial injustice. Music makers and music fans pitched in, offered connection, and kept creating. Morning, 2020 sharpened our focus on long overdue social change, and musicians were at the fore. The return of some of our favourite artists with brilliant new music lifted our spirits. And sadly, we farewelled some beloved names too. I'm Kaz Tran. This is The J-Files. Comedian Celeste Barber raised a staggering amount of money and hosted a huge benefit concert called Firefight, which to get Earth saw the music community help contribute a massive amount of support to those affected by the devastating bushfires in Australia. Julia Stone was also spurred on to be part of the bushfire efforts, curating an album to raise money as well, with artists like The National, Kurt Vile, Paul Kelly and Dan Sultan covering classic Australian tracks.
How can we dance when our earth is turning? How do we sleep while our beds are burning?
When we started talking about actually releasing it, a big thing for me was that it had to tie into it being about Indigenous land rights, which was hard to sort of figure out how to cross over. But I had read a few articles about this cultural burning that was sort of ignored a little bit by the Australian government. There were warnings about this kind of bushfire happening from Indigenous elders and people with this wisdom. And yeah, and so I started thinking maybe to make a video that sort of tells the story of where we're at as a country and to tie in, you know, some really moving footage from Bruce Pascoe and from the Fire Sticks crew. And that for me was then about reaching out and actually asking people who know a lot about it, because I am completely, aside from what I'm reading on the internet, so it was important for me to have conversations and, yeah.
To pay the rent, to pay our share. The time has come. A fact's a fact. It belongs to them. Let's give it. How can we dance when our earth is turning? How do we sleep while our beds are burning?
From the tragic bushfire season, we slid into our confrontation with a new crisis, COVID-19. And once again, it was through the creative compulsions of musicians and artists across the world who helped us weather the confusion, loneliness, and boredom of lockdown. Homegrown legends Vika and Linda Bull invited us into their homes, teaming up with collaborators online to make a gospel-inspired album.
Happening every day. On that last great judgment day, when they drive them all away. There are strange things happening every day.
And like Vika and Linda, there are a bunch of legends who refused to let COVID come between us in 2020. Here's Zan Rowe.
Isolade was formed in March by three music fans from Melbourne. Every weekend, artists from all over the country played live from their beds, bathrooms, studios, anywhere they could. streamed over Instagram, Isolade has hosted over 800 artists and brought us together online to enjoy live music when we couldn't in real life.
Darius, Poggy, JC, everyone ready?
In May, Brisbane rockers Powderfinger reformed for a special one-off show. All five original members belted out a set full of hits from their home studios, raising money for Beyond Blue and Support Act. Your voice, it came to me the clearest I had heard. Australian songwriter Gordy spent working as a junior doctor on the COVID front lines in Victoria. She also released her J-Award-nominated second album, Our Two Skins, which she launched with a live stream performance at the Sydney Opera House. The incomparable Archie Roach was supposed to spend 2020 on a massive farewell tour. COVID put a stop to that, but it didn't stop Archie creating a YouTube series where he shared the stories behind his brilliant songs and releasing a new version of his landmark debut album, Charcoal Lane, which he recorded at his kitchen table. As well as releasing a new book, Killing Time, Jimmy Barnes spent most of 2020 performing songs on Instagram. This life, well, it's slipping right through my hands. He took requests from fans and put a Barnesy spin on some of the most iconic tunes ever written. I'm in shape. Tina Arena brought us her Quarantina Arena shows.
With Quarantina, how are you this Saturday night?
Providing fun, companionship, interviews and reflections on her career so far. And the always insightful Darren Hanlon delivered one of the most simple and profound songs about this year's health crisis and the way it's affected us.
We all cope in different ways, so don't be too hard on yourself. A hopeless string of empty days, light standing on an Arctic shelf, staring deep into the void of your undiscovered mind, searching desperately to find some comfort from the malaise. We all cope in different ways.
2020 magnified the voices of communities demanding change, equality, and justice. It was a year of necessary and long overdue cultural, social, and political upheaval. Double J's Tim Scheel will take you through some of the artists who led or fueled the charge, like Janelle Monáe, who hosted the Oscars, appeared in films, and in her first new music since Dirty Computer, made this song for the documentary film All In, The Fight for Democracy. Liberation, elevation, education. You a lie, but the whole world about to testify. I said the whole world about to testify. And the table's about to, the table's about to turn.
Hey, Tim Scheel here. And like Janelle Monáe, many artists use their music and their platform to make big statements in 2020. The MATTER movement was at its height in America. Ziggy Ramo took the conversation back home.
So if we have seats at the table, but then we are not able to express our lived experience, are we actually having cultural diversity or is it performative? Black lives matter,
that's the subject matter. Tell you to climb and they burn down your ladder. Ziggy used his platform to educate and highlight the struggles and injustices faced by Australian people. Blift, often sight into life as a young person of colour. I've never been one to just integrate. Western Sydney rapper El Fresh the Lion made a bold statement with his third album, Southwest. Why blend in when you're born to stand out? El Fresh packed the album with potent verses on race, identity and respect as he reckoned with his past and Australia's future. Tweedhead South rapper JK47, aka Jacob Paulson, released a standout debut album, Made for This, which was nominated for a J Award for Album of the Year, and he was the Triple J Unearthed Artist of the Year. hip-hop powerhouse, Beyoncé, brought black excellence to the forefront with her visual album Black is King, which Bey wrote, directed, and produced herself. After releasing two albums in 2019, built on a heady mix of soul, funk, hip-hop, and dub, the Miss backed it up with another two exceptional records celebrating black culture. Paul Kelly took a swipe at climate change in action with his song Sleep Australia Sleep.
Jumping in fields come.
Kelly wrote the song as a lullaby, but wanted its message to serve as a wake-up call.
If they see that even in the ivory towers of the greatest empire ever, that there's a rot there. And if those citizens and the proletariat are pushing back, then I damn well are going to do so. It's a beautiful thing.
Way to bring the check. When we talk, we collect the car. Keep us in your thoughts.
And Killer Mike was not only one of the most vocal artists during the Black Lives Matter protests, Run the Jewels RTJ4 was one of the most formidable albums of 2020. A powerful reflection on an unjust world and a call to action to fix its deep problems.
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters.
Hey, been it time. I'm on mine. I be minding mine. Every time on my grind. I'm just trying to shine.
Something we like to do every year on the J-Files is celebrate the artists who absolutely rocked it.
When you first got late, yeah, when mama walked out, when it still hasn't rained. Yes, yeah, some of this is magic and some of this is pain.
Country singer Fanny Lumsden released her third studio album, Fallow. She recorded it right before bushfires tore through her town, and she released the album on the day the music industry came to a halt due to COVID restrictions, and still came out with 7 nominations at the Country Music Awards. Fanny Lumsden told Zanro how she managed to keep positive during one of the hardest years of her life.
I think knowing that it was entirely out of my control, it was entirely out of anyone's control, it was something that everybody was going through. I think that really helped because I wasn't disadvantaged. It wasn't just me. I wasn't unfair. Like, it just is what it is. Like, this is just the way things rolled out this year. And, like, you could kick and scream, but it just doesn't help anyone, let alone me. So I was on a massive, like, adrenaline rush, basically, because we'd been touring for 6 months straight. I'd gone through the fires. We'd then gone straight out of the fires, literally from here. We drove to Tamworth, like out of the smoke. And so I was running on coffee and adrenaline. And so then coming into my record, we'd put so much energy into every single tiny detail of this record that there was absolutely no way I was giving up on any of it.
Cause I just wanna move, yeah, yeah. And you can come too, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's me plus you, yeah, yeah. So tell me what we gonna do.
The Nemas was a 2-hour live stream event featuring an exciting list of established names. And your new rapper, Baker Boy, was more than a little stoked to take out Artist of the Year.
Oh my God. Woo, my heart.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Artist of the Year. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, this is crazy. I honestly didn't think I could win at all tonight. And I would like to dedicate this award to all of you mob here nominated tonight. And to my family back in Dao and across Arnhem Land, I'm so proud to represent my people and I am so overwhelmed with the support and success I have achieved rapping in Yulumata and English. And congratulations to all the winners. Thank you so much for everyone. And yeah, you guys have a blast tonight.
Released her huge second album, Punisher, and told Tim Scheel how she really felt about Eric Clapton.
We hate tears in heaven, but it's sad, baby, dark.
I have such an Eric Clapton rant because I think it's just extremely mediocre music, but also he's a famous racist. But sometimes I think people are too problematic to be canceled or not relevant enough to be canceled.
Right.
So, I mean, it wouldn't even make news if he said something racist now, today, because he went on a racist rant in the 70s that was very famous. But yeah, I end up talking to a lot of older people about music and really butting heads about certain, because the lyric used to be, "We hate Eric Clapton."
Right. Actually dialed it back.
But Tony is actually kind of worse now, because
okay,
Tears of Heaven is the Dead Baby song, which is a heartbreaking song and actually not my least, if I were to pick an Eric Clapton song, it's up there with the ones that I actually like. So it's kind of a lie on the record, but it actually kind of sounds more poetic this way, other than just saying we hate Eric Clapton. So I kind of tricked myself into saying something more brutal, but a little bit more sheltered, I guess.
Hey, Caitlin Nienaber here. Despite everything 2020 threw at them, there were many artists who totally rocked it in 2020. And my foot is a river, but the skip and stones. Hailing from the small Aboriginal community of Woorabinda in central Queensland, Myesha's debut album, Nyarrinyu, was full of world-class R&B and neo-soul. The J Award-nominated album masterfully captured the Indigenous experience through universally appealing songs. Jack River was evacuated from her home on the New South Wales south coast when the devastating 2020 bushfires ripped through. As an advocate for climate action, Jack River used the COVID downtime to launch an independent podcast, To Rebel in the Times, where she talked to artists about being agents of change through music. Jaguar Jones had to cut her US tour short and come home, contracting COVID-19 on the way. Jones made her experience public to help spread awareness and break the stigma surrounding COVID, and after recovering, spent 2020 releasing a bunch of great songs. Canadian-born, Melbourne-based Tracy McNeil and The Good Life released her best album yet with You Be The Lightning. One of the greatest records of 2020, it marked an essential chapter in Australian alt country. Moses Sumney's second album, Grey, was one of the most ambitious and stunning releases of the year. Might not be healthy for me, but on the genre-defying two-part opus, he worked with an impressive list of collaborators like Thundercat, Jill Scott, and James Blake. I need a bad bitch. One of Australia's biggest rap exports, The Kid Laroi, had a massive 2020. The young hip-hop star released his debut mixtape, racked up millions of streams, and achieved TikTok infamy for his track, Addison Rae. Addison Rae, shawty the baddest. And South Sudan's Gordon Kwang released his first record since arriving in Australia in 2014. The now proudly Australian citizen recorded his 11th album, Unity, while seeking asylum here, giving voice to the struggles of his homeland with an irresistible energy.
From the artists who rocked it to the big albums of 2020, it was a year that served up some blistering records. We listened harder and really appreciated the respite, the escape, and the sheer joy that these albums gave us. One of those musical offerings came from acclaimed songwriter Laura Marling. I woke up, it was 4 in the morning, clear as all hell that you'd already gone. No
heart set dear, you know I hate to disappear, but the days are short and the nights are getting long.
For me personally, this record represents a kind of triumph over trauma and the very difficult process of getting past all that and recalibrating, pulling lots of fragments back together. So I think that's quite a common experience for people, and I think it's a very misunderstood experience for people. But I think particularly difficult consequence of something like a traumatic event is that it's very difficult to find yourself in a place where you can be naive enough and sort of feel safe enough to write or to create in whatever form. But you can get your way out of that. You can pull yourself back together, put the fragments back together, digest whatever happened to you, and then carry on. So that's what underneath all of this record, I don't know if that's really expressed on the record, but underneath all of that, there is that relationship to it for me.
We waited 6 years for a new Emma Donovan and the Putbacks album, and Crossover did not disappoint. Emma Donovan shared with Tim Scheel how much she loved working with the Putbacks.
I'm always talking about how spoilt I am as the oldest Donovan grandchild. I'm fucking spoilt, you know. Being in the room with the Putbacks, and also, that time for me in the studio spaces, like, you know, we recorded it over at the Grove in Coburg, which is a space that, you know, where Nick Herrera pulled the sound with, you know, alongside Simon. But, you know, all these experiences and that time of tracking and, you know, laying down vocals with so I'm never going to take for granted. I can't get over the feeling and the vibe that's in the room when, you know, you track an album with a band and, like, the Putbacks. They're so generous. They're so beautiful. 'Cause it might have been
Tame Impala released their fourth album, The Slow Rush. Taylor Swift showcased a completely different side to her songwriting on her eighth album, Folklore, which saw the pop singer team up with the National Production and Bon Iver's Justin Vernon. Less than 5 months later, she released a surprise ninth album called Evermore. So who am I offending now? You are my crown. Now I'm in exile, seeing you out. Here's Anne Rowe with some of the other big albums of 2020. How do you suppose that we'll survive? Come on, that's Fault right. Cutters by Fiona Apple. Because you like a couple of cosmonauts. It was Apple's first album in 8 years and was well worth the wait. American hip-hop duo Run the Jewels released RTJ4 in June. LP's production hit like a sonic boom, and Killer Mike delivered incisive lyrics with immense heart. Caribou's 10th album suddenly felt effortlessly minimalistic. But Dan Snaith's labour of love took over 5 years and over 900 audio loops and sketches. The mysterious UK collective Salt, which is made up of an unknown number of musos, released two of the best albums of 2020 with Untitled Black Ears and Untitled Rise. Benny Walker showcased his immense musicianship on his third album, Chosen Line, drawing on blues, Americana and 80s rock influences. Disclosure brought the energy with their long-awaited third album of the same name. Texan jam band Currumbin pushed vocals to the forefront on their third album, Mordecai, without compromising the intoxicating ambience of their music. Cost money. Nas's 13th album, King's Disease, was a triumph, with the Queens rapper teaming up with Big Sean, Lil Durk and Anderson .Paak. Country music harbinger Jason Isbell and his 400 unit delivered finely crafted songwriting with a magnetic southern drawl on his seventh album, Reunions. And American songwriter Katie Crutchfield took a left turn on her fifth album as Waxahachie. While her brand of indie rock and power pop has always flirted with elements of Americana, St. Cloud was her most decisive foray into the genre yet. I'm a broken record riding in the dust. It's always great to get cracking new albums, and when they come from cherished names making a triumphant return, there's a whole new level of excitement that comes with it. The Avalanches famously had us waiting 16 years for their comeback in 2016. The wait was considerably shorter for their third album, We Will Always Love You. Here's Robbie and Tony talking about the making of Running Red Lights, which featured Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo.
We sent him the track and he just was so absolutely sweet about it and started writing to it immediately. So it just kind of grew from there. It was just, actually just a very, very small snippet of music we had to begin with. And he just really embraced it. And, so we started this back and forth process and it grew from there.
Yeah. He came back with three different vocal ideas and he's like, which one do you want? We went, can we have them all? So we kind of worked everything into the song.
Yeah.
So how much back and forth was there before this song became this song?
It's probably like two kind of intense weeks, I guess. And then, you know, little bits and pieces later on. Like we wanted to make a spoken word intro for it as well, which is going to be like the track before it. And so he did some stuff later on, like recorded some stuff into his phone for us as well. But I sent into the situation room. Keeps hatching back up plans to try and understand why I got nothing when it comes to you. I got nothing when it comes to you. In April, we were delighted to hear that beloved Australian rockers Something for Kate were back. Here's frontman Paul Dempsey talking about Situation Room, their first new song in 8 years.
It's definitely a song about you know, those little sort of internal discussions you had yourself with yourself where you you imagine every possible scenario and every possible conversation and every possible outcome, and you know in your head you win every argument and you overcome every challenge, and you know everything's always perfect in your head when you imagine how things are going to be, but then inevitably there's these huge curveballs that come your way that, you know, life throws things at you that you have to surrender that you can't control this one. And that's, you know, obviously we're all sort of experiencing that now. The song was written from a much more personal point of view, but I guess it's that same thing applies. It's just about when life kind of hits you for six and you kind of have to just surrender and go, wow, I didn't see this coming.
Here's Tim Shiel with some of the other artists who gave us that spark of surprise with their return in 2020.
Seattle grunge heroes Pearl Jam returned with their 11th studio album, Gigaton, their first album in 7 years. The English singer Jessie Ware nearly quit music in 2018, but made a triumphant return to form with her modern disco classic, What's Your Pleasure? Modern indie giant Sufjan Stevens put out The Ascension, his 8th solo album and his first in half a decade. While Kylie Minogue has released a Christmas album and a country, in 2020 she returned to her dance pop roots with disco. The Strokes couldn't play Splendor in the Grass as planned, but they still gifted us with their first new album in 7 years, The New Abnormal. On the home front, Washington wowed us with Bat Flowers, her first album since 2014. The legacy of AC/DC continued with their surprise 17th album, Power Up. Pendulum delighted drum and bass fans the world over with their first new music in 10 years.
With my balaclava curled up like a turban on my head.
The Whitlams released their first new song since 2006, The Ballad of Bertie Kidd. Gonna call you up, never let you down. Wollongong Masters of Rock, Tumbleweed, put out Shadowland, their first new single in 7 years. Whatever you want, whatever you want. Crowded House delighted fans when they released Whatever You Want, their first new music in over a decade. Kate Miller-Heidke has had a busy few years with Eurovision and working on Muriel's Wedding, the musical, but that didn't stop her releasing Child in Reverse, her first studio album in 6 years. And Midnight Oil proved they are as passionate as ever with their first new music in 18 years. The Makarata Project was a mini album of collaborations with Indigenous Jessica Malboy, Alice Sky, and the great Kev Carmody.
Hey, Caitlin Nienaber here. Sadly, we said goodbye to some giants of music in 2020. In February, Andy Gill, who was a founding member of Gang of Four, died at the age of 64. Gill was one of the most influential post-punk musicians of all time. David Roback, the guitarist who formed Mazzy Star with vocalist Hope Sandoval, passed away at the age of 61. You got to know when to hold. In March, country music legend Kenny Rogers died aged 81. Rogers was a true icon of both country music and pop culture.
Make me an angel. The flash from Montgomery.
In April, American master songwriter John Prine died at the age of 73 after contracting COVID-19. Fountains of Wayne bass player and co-writer Adam Schlesinger died from complications relating to COVID-19.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Bill Withers, the legendary soul singer who wrote Lean On Me, died in April at 81 years of age. In May, pioneering Afrobeat drummer Tony Allen passed away. He was best known as Fela Kuti's drummer from 1968 to 1979. Little Richard, the founding father of rock music, died at the age of 87. He was the innovator and the originator who built his groundbreaking sound with a blend of boogie-woogie, rhythm and blues, and gospel. Florian Schneider, co-founder of hugely influential German electronic group Kraftwerk, died of cancer at the age of 73. In August, Justin Townsend died at the age of 38. He was one of the leading lights in the resurgence of Americana over the past 20 years. Songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Mike Noga passed away aged 43. The solo artist and former drummer of The Drones was a beloved figure in the Australian music scene. Everybody, give it In September, Toots Hibbert, lead singer and co-founder of Toots and the Maytals, passed away. He was one of the foundational figures of reggae. Ronald Bell, who co-founded funk and R&B pioneers Kool & the Gang, died aged 68. Bell wrote hits like Jungle Boogie and Celebration. Oh, yeah. In October, Eddie Van Halen, one of rock music's greatest guitar players and a founding member of the hugely successful rock band named after he and his drummer brother, died at the age of 65. Dan Morrison, the drummer for Melbourne's ska punk band Area 7, passed away. And Australian singer Helen Reddy, who reached number one around the world with hits like I Am Woman, died in Los Angeles at the age of 78.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend.
I Am Woman received the first ever Grammy Award for an Australian pen song and became an anthem for female empowerment.
Yes, we farewelled some huge names in 2020, each having left a lasting legacy and a permanent imprint on our hearts.
But look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong.
Strong.
I am invincible.
Invincible.
I am woman.
Something we always like to do at the end of these annual wrap-ups is gaze into the crystal ball and look at who might be about to take off. Here's a few artists the Double J team reckon will be the ones to watch. Nigerian-raised, London-based artist Made Kuti is set for big things in 2021. The talented multi-instrumentalist plays bass, saxophone, piano, drums and trumpet and is the grandson of Afrobeat pioneer Fela Kuti. Irish electronic music duo Bicep have had a huge part of the house music renaissance in recent years. Starting out as bloggers who trawled record stores to unearth obscure tracks and long-lost gems, they will release their highly anticipated second album in January. American folk singer and activist Ray Zaragoza has also released her second album, Woman in Colour, on her own label, Rebel River Records.
Many years have passed, but you're still charming.
London band Dry Cleaning were one of our favourite discoveries in 2019 with their post-punk ode to Meghan Markle. They're signed to legendary label 4AD and have just released another great single called Scratch Card Lanyard.
Searching for balance, praying for clarity.
Green Tea Peng is the moniker of South London neo-soul singer Aria Wells. After releasing a bunch of great modern R&B tunes in 2020, we're keen to see what next year brings for this exciting new talent. On the home front, Sydney via Tamworth troubadour Andy Gollidge released some of our favourite Americana-inspired music this year on his EP, Namoy. Emerging Sydney producer Angus One has already released a handful of excellent singles on French label Kitsune Music. His accomplished and eclectic production makes us keen to hear what other musical tricks he has up his sleeve.
Like a well overflowing.
Danica Smith is a Melbourne-based singer whose music gravitates between folk, jazz and soul. She's just released her second single, Sweet Melody, and we hear Danica is planning to release her debut album early next year. Logic 1000 is the moniker of Australian producer Samantha Poulter. Fortet named her debut single the biggest track of 2019, and after a run of shows here last summer before the COVID lockdown, we expect big things are in the works over the next 12 months. And Townsville-born, Melbourne-based singer Kian absolutely floored us with her debut single Better Things. The proud Gugu Yelanji Jirbal and Badu Island artist was also the recipient of the Archie Roach Foundation Award at the NEMAs this year. And we look forward to hearing more from Kian when she releases her debut album, In Full Bloom.
But how can I grow flowers when all I've got is weeds? So I'm digging them all up and planting some new seeds. 'Cause now I've got a blue. Try and get
The J-Files podcast is produced by Gab Burke. Huge shout-outs to the Double J crew, Gemma Pike, Dorothy Markek, Stephen Goodhue, Dan Condon, Luann Schneier, Catherine Brickman, Ryan Egan and Megan Loder. I'm Kaz Tran. Catch you next time.
The J-Files.